The Word of God brings to us as God's children one basic biblical passion by which we are to live. Do all for the glory of God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." What does that mean? Do all to the glory of God. What does that mean for you as a teenager? What does that mean for you as a housewife? Is that a cliché? Is that a meaningless phrase? What does it mean? According to the Bible, God's glory is the outshining of His own virtues, or the outshining of Himself. Just as the rays of the sun come forth from the sun, so coming forth from God is all of His glory, His holiness, justice, love, mercy, truth, righteousness. To live for the glory of God, then, means that the God who is God is seen in what you do and in what you say and in how you act, how you relate to people, and in your attitudes. To live to the glory of God means that God is seen in what I do and in how I live as the glorious God. We read in Isaiah 43, verse 12, "Ye are my witnesses that I am God." Your life is to be a witness that I am God. That's what it means to live to the glory of God. So that in your dating as a young person, God is seen as pure and powerful in the control of His love for you. So that in your words as a young person in the hall, in school, or in the locker room with the guys, in your words, God is known as a holy God who loves His name and hates cursing. So that God is seen in Friday nights when you're in school or out of school, wherever you are, and in whatever you do, God is seen as a glorious God. So that you live before the world and you say, "Look at what I do. Look at my attitudes. See how I deal with others?" God, in all of this, is seen as my God and seen in all the glory of who He is. Do all to the glory of God. Now I say the Bible says this must be the single passion of the life of each one who is redeemed by God's grace. Do all to the glory of God. But now the Bible takes that up one step. Not only must we live to the glory of God, but God says, Psalm 37, verse 4, "Delight thyself in the Lord," that is, take pleasure in God, relish God, be happy in the Lord. That is, a passion for God's glory in my life is not simply, well, this is what is expected of me, this is what I'm supposed to do, this is what I'm supposed to say, and so I'm going to do this whether I like it or not. So I'm supposed to be sexually pure, I'm supposed to be clean mouth, I'm supposed to defend the truth, and I will go about that in a robotic and a formal way. No, that brings no glory to God. The one holy passion to which grace brings us is that we are to delight in God, that is, to rejoice in God Himself. Do you delight in God Himself? Is God Himself your pleasure, your joy, your satisfaction? Do you possess such a joy in God and in all that He is and all that He has done and does for you that you simply can't hold it in, that you delight in Him? You say, "Oh, that's too pious. That's emotional. That's unrealistic. That's too much." Well, listen to the Bible. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. In Thee will we boast all the day long. Be glad in the Lord, ye righteous, and shout for joy, ye upright in heart. Glory ye in this holy name." We are to delight in God Himself. To delight in God is to be joyful in our soul, in Him who has by grace saved us. Delight thyself, we read, in the Lord. There, the word Lord is Jehovah, the I Am that I Am, revealing to us that He is the eternal, faithful, covenant God who has loved us and drawn us to Him in cords of love through Jesus Christ, His Son. He is the great Jehovah, whose mercy endures forever, whose truth endures to all generation, who is excellent in power and in greatness. All who know Him delight in him. All who know him praise and joy in him. The sinner does not think that God is desirable. Human nature does not suppose God to be lovely. Human nature believes that God is harsh and stuffy and an obstacle to fun. The Word of God says that's blasphemy. God in himself is delightful. He is full of grace and truth. He is the ever adorable God. Do not trifle with God. God is God and good, and we are to take pleasure in him. This is a command to our emotions. Delight yourself in the Lord. And we ask, well, how can our emotions be commanded? You can't command emotions, can you? Well, the Bible does all the time. Husbands, love your wives. Hope, ye dispirited and discouraged saints, hope in the Lord. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Weep with those who weep. God may command as he wills. This command, then, is addressed to the heart of one who has been renewed by God's wonderful grace, made alive now in Jesus Christ to do this. Grace, God's grace, infuses new qualities into our will so that God may say, I have made you alive. I have given you a new heart. I command that heart, and that heart is to delight in me. God commands us to delight in him. Why? Why must God and his glory be the central passion of our heart and lives? The answer is, first of all, because God's glory is central to God, because God delights in himself. God is zealous for his own glory. Isaiah 48, verse 11. For my own sake, even for my own sake will I do it, for how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. God's passion is for himself. God is the most God-centered being in the universe. God is no idolater. He does not bow down to another. He does not seek satisfaction outside of himself. God is uppermost in his affections. He puts nothing before himself. Number one to God is himself, his own glory. And this is right, and this is good. God takes pleasure in his own holy name, and for that reason he calls all his redeemed through Jesus Christ to glory in him, to delight in him. Find your satisfaction in me. Open wide thy mouth, he says. I will fill it with myself. I am the God whose compassions know no end, whose mercies are new each morning. God is so good, so delightful. Delight yourself in him. God is most glorified in us when we delight in him. When we are satisfied in him, he is glorified in us. Do you remember Paul's words about death in Philippians 1, the verses 20 through 21? There he prays that Christ be magnified in his body, whether it be by life or death. And he goes on to say, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul was saying, I count my Savior more satisfying to me than anything that I would lose in death. Death and all the difficulties accompanying death did not paralyze Paul. They did not defeat him, because God was to Paul his chief delight. Knowing God in faith and delighting in God are not two separate things. They are one thing. To know God in faith is to delight in God. To know God by faith is not a cold, sterile thing. No, true faith, the knowledge of God, is to rejoice in that knowledge of God. God does not get glory from those who do not delight in him. Now, I know the Bible says that God is glorified also in the destruction of the reprobate wicked. We read in Proverbs 16, verse 4, the Lord has made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of destruction. They too must glorify God's justice in their just damnation. But what I mean is this: God is not glorified in us by merely having head correctness and outward orthodoxy and outward conformity, but God is glorified in us when those things exist and are the fruit of a joy in Him. God is to be savored. God is to be enjoyed. God is to be rejoiced in. What we need in the church is a generation of young people who, with mind and heart, display a mighty love for God. As young people, your generation is inheriting the truth. So that as Moses spake, so I may speak, Deuteronomy 28, verse 56, that thou mayest fear this great and glorious name, the Lord thy God. That's intended to be shocking, to be sobering, that you might know, reverence Him. But God is not glorified in mere outward accuracy, in mere outward knowledge. God is glorified when we delight in Him from the heart, according to that true knowledge of Him in His Word. Delighting in God is very important. It is the power to reject sinful delights. The world is full of sinful pleasures. We read in Hebrews 11 that Moses was tempted also by the pleasures of sin which he could have in Egypt for a season. In the world there is open sex, drunkenness, drinking, possessions, drugs, materialism, and on we could go. On these pleasures of sin, the world today is sick. It vomits, and then it goes back to those pleasures. But sinful pleasures cannot satisfy. Sinful pleasures, the Word of God says, are a snare. They draw you back with all of their promises. But then you can't get loose, and you find that all of their promises come up empty. You end up with vanity and destruction in your heart. And then you say concerning those pleasures, I can't stop, and I feel worthless about myself. Well, now listen. Listen. Delight thyself in God. That's the liberation. We read of Joseph that when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to commit adultery with her, he said, how can I do this and sin against my God? He was saying, woman, the embrace of my God in prayer is more than yours can ever be to me. Delight yourself in God, and you will not be disappointed. Delight in God brings satisfaction. The church father Augustine put it this way: we are made for God, and unquieted is our soul until it rests in God. Delight in Him. Don't watch television all night instead of reading the Scriptures. Here is peace, here is contentment, here is joy. Delight yourself in God. Know God. Know Him in all of His glory, the ever-adorable One. We read in Jeremiah 2, verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water. That is evil. My people have committed two evils. It is evil. It is evil when you are given a fountain of living water, pure and cool, which can satisfy a weary, parched soul, and then you sniff at it. And instead, you go outside and you dig a hole in the ground, in the sand, and you put your lips to the sand or to the clay, and you suck trying to get something. That's evil. Go to the fountain and drink and drink and drink. Find satisfaction, not from the dry ground of drugs and drunkenness and possessions and materialism and beauty and wealth and all the rest. You are not going to find it there. That's evil. But find satisfaction in God. Delight yourself in God. This is the distinctive reformed life that stands out in this world. This is what excites us. We read in 1 Peter 3, verse 15, "Be ready to give an answer to any man of the hope that is in you. Does the world ask, what is there about you?" There's something I can't figure out about you. You seem to have a rock underneath you. You seem to have an inward peace, a joy, not dependent upon circumstances. Do they ask you those questions? Is it that they do not ask? Because you and I are delighting in the same things that they do, that our hearts run no deeper than theirs, that we delight ourselves in football and TV programs. Do you delight yourself in God? We have to answer this question. He who calls himself the praises of Israel asks, do you delight yourself in me? Delight thyself in God, and he shall give you the desires of thy heart. That's how that verse concludes in Psalm 37. If you delight in the vanities of this world, they'll give you nothing, they'll take from you. But when you delight in God, you will receive something, and you will keep on receiving. To delight yourself in God and receive the desires of your heart does not, of course, mean that you are given carte blanche on your carnal desires, as is so popular today in the heresy of the health, wealth, and success gospel. That is a heresy, contrary to God's word. God does not say, well, if you believe in me enough, then whatever you fancy, I will give to you. God is not saying, I'll guarantee you a material reward. I will gratify everything your little heart could wish. We know that that is not true. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that many suppose that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. And although we know that's not true, there are so many Christians who are getting sucked into that heresy today. No, the opposite is the meaning. That the Lord will give you the desires of your heart may indeed mean that in the way of the delighting of God, you might lose all earthly things. You must remember that the sinful world is intolerant of joy. You heard me right. The sinful world is intolerant of joy. The devil is intolerant of true joy. The world does not want any true joy. True joy is to delight in God. And the devil doesn't want happiness. He's not out for happiness. Sin is not happiness. Sin is misery. And if you delight yourself in the Lord, and if you say, I live looking for one who is the author of my salvation in whom I rejoice, then the world is going to say, we're going to try to make you miserable. What does it mean that the Lord will give thee the desires of thy heart? Well, it means at least three things. Number one, it certainly means that God will do this in His time and according to His will. The desires of our heart, as to what I am to do, who I am to marry, and all the other desires that we might have, we may want a child, and all the other things, God says that if you delight upon me and obey me and submit to my will, then in my time and in my way and in my will, I will bring all things to you that I have willed. But more, it means that he will grant to us our inward spiritual desires. Do you have desires in your heart? Not casual wishes, but do you have true spiritual desires? Do you desire the Lord to strengthen you against temptations? Do you desire the Lord to give you more holiness? Do you desire the Lord to give you a control of your tongue? Are these the desires of your heart? Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But still more, it means this, that God will give himself. And that's the best explanation. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. When you desire him, and you delight in him, and you want to be closer to Him, and you want to know Him more, then the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. To delight in God brings the blessing of being filled with God, who is the chief desire of our heart. Do you delight in Him? Once again, God is not served by mere outward correctness. We read in Acts 17, verse 25, "Neither is He worshipped, that is, served with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things." God is not served by mere external duty. God is glorified in those who by His grace treasure Him. Do you treasure Him today? Oh, the great and the glorious God, faithful, compassionate, the Father of wisdom, the holy, the just, the eternal, the faithful God. Oh, how glorious is God! Isn't God marvelous? Oh, how wonderful and how great! Delight in Him. That's what He saved you to do. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray that Thou would bless Thy word unto our hearts this day. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen. That truth, so that the reservoir is full and deep, and our children can drink deeply. And a generation arises which worships Jehovah. We must see to it that we praise His works to our children. Then, by His grace alone, His truth endures from generation to generation, and then the aged, with David, go to their graves in peace, knowing that the high praises of God which thrill their heart and have been their comfort and song throughout their days, these high praises will not cease from off the face of the earth, but they shall be carried forward and onward by the generation to follow. God grant this. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee. We thank Thee for Thy word. Apply it to our hearts through Jesus' name. Amen.